1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and live from the Bath Pub in Bath Avenue in Dublin, it's Funny Friday with John Delaney.
My name, it is John Delaney, head of the FAI. I like to sing at parties and many pints to buy. But now I am in trouble for having a sing-song.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the stupid things I've done, it's this they find so wrong. I sang of Joe McDonald, a hunger striker true, a member of the IRA, like all your granddads too. He died in 1981 for all the good it did. I'll never die of hunger on 400,000 quid. I hired Trapattoni, but you think this is worse? To sing about a brave young man who tried to rid the curse of Englishmen in Ireland. He tried to end the hurt. Just don't mention all the Englishmen who've worn the Ireland shirt. In many ways our soccer team is like the IRA. They were more active in the 90s, but they haven't gone away. They give a 90-minute warning before they score a goal. Oh, when they pass the ball, they break our hearts, but they hold Ireland's soul. Oh, my name, it is John Delaney, and as the lights declined,
come on, John,
they caught me on an iPhone, like in Poland that last time, where I was buying pints and singing songs. My spirit, you won't drown. Oh, my name is John Delaney. I'm football's Brian Cowan. My name is John Delaney. I'm football's Brian Cowan.
And just, we'll have, like the X Factor, Joe Brody, what did you make of that rendition by John Delaney?
It was great, so it was. That wasn't an IRA song, that was an AFA song. Joe McDonald, E-A-E-I-O.
Eamon Dunphy's with us as well. Eamon, you've said you openly support Sinn Féin, so you'd stand by John Delaney, would you?
No, Joe. I openly support May Féin. I support myself because nobody else will support me. You won't support me, and, you know, it is great. And John Delaney is a true Republican.
And the people are rallying round. I see Brian Kerr. Brian Kerr is here. You're still in full support of John Delaney.
Oh, jeez, yeah. We think he's a great striker. He's a great singer. And we think that the Irish soccer team may be better singing than trying to win European games. You know what I mean?
And I saw Micheál Murathúrtaí. He's in the back row here today. And your eyes were closed, if I healed.
They were, because they weren't open. You know, that would be it. Now, I'd always sleep with one eye half open and half shut, because I'm a Kerry man, you know, but John Delaney, you know, he'd be welcome down here in Kerry. Lots of republicanism and catechism and every other ism down here in Kerry. So.
And Jackie Healy-Ray is with us as well. Or, sorry, it's Michael Healy-Ray who's with us today. Michael Healy, what did you think of John Delaney? I know you're a GAA supporter, but have you got sympathy, coming from the county you come from? Have you got sympathy with the street?
What do I finish your question? Let me tell you that I'm down here now with a lot more concerns. John, whatever his name is up there. who have no All-Ireland medal between them. Not one of the Irish team have one All-Ireland medal between them. I'm sticking up the cross down here below in Killarney, and you're after interrupting me. I had to come back down a mountain after someone told me there was an important call from Dublin. Is this what you call an important call from Dublin?
Still Fox.
And I tried to stick up the class down and below.
Still Fox is with us.
Go up and tool.
Still, no, he's brutal. Still, good afternoon. How are you, Sil? I didn't know whether you were doing Jackie. Go ahead.
All these celebrities here and all these politicians are unbelievable. I'm great to be back. I wasn't with you on the last one.
Yeah, we didn't know.
I done a tour of the States.
Did you really?
Yeah, the industrial estates. you won't believe this. I was coming out today. I was putting toilet water in my hair. And the lid fell on me. But fed up people asking me for money. I really am. About 6 months ago, I lent a fella €1,500 for plastic surgery on his face. Well, I'll never get it back because, I don't know what he looks like. I done a show the other night. I was on with a magician. He was on before me. And you know when he saws people in half? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
An illusion.
Yeah.
I was talking to him in the dressing room afterwards. I said, that's a fantastic act you have. So he says, thanks very much. So I said, how are you doing it? Oh, he said, a couple of years. So it's great the way. So have you any family? He said, yeah, two half brothers and a half sister.
Doc Savage, you looking forward to the Thai show tonight?
I was just saying this, so anybody knows, there's great excitement today now over on RTE because the Thai show
show
is on.
On, yeah.
We just noticed there's 28 shoplifting days to Christmas. Let us know. And I was just saying that, it's a great story with the cab. You say cabin people are mean, but they're not mean, they're miserable, which is different.
Yeah.
And there's a fellow up in cabin, first of all, he's watching Mass on television on a Sunday morning, right? And the Mass is on the telly. And when the collection comes on, he turns the telly off. And every Christmas, the cabin man brings his kids to the graveyard to show them Santa's grave. So imagine Christmas morning comes along, right? And there's a cabin man, little boy in cabin, goes to the Christmas tree, opens the box, and the box is empty. Everybody say, ah. And he says, Daddy, what's that supposed to be? And he said, it's an Action Man deserter. There was a man, he's making love to another man's wife, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And he hears the front door open, and he says to her, who's that? And she said, it's my husband, he's home early, he's a heavyweight boxer. Oh, good God, he says, where's the back door? She said, we've no back door. He said, where do you want one? He said, what'll I do? And she said, get into the wardrobe, put your clothes on the wardrobe as quick as you can. So he's in the wardrobe putting his clothes on, and he hears a voice saying, it's very dark in here. And he looked down, it's a woman's son, 7 years of age. He said, I'm going to scream, give me money or my daddy will bite the head off you. And he gave him €50 to keep him quiet. The little boy's in Dublin the next day with his mammy, walking down O'Connor Street, showed her the €50. She said, where did you get that? And he wouldn't tell her. She'd go into the priest in the procuratorate, in the confession box, tell the priest where you got the money. And the priest pulled her shirt back and the little boy said, it's very dark in here. And the priest said, God, what do you want now?
Okay, we're going over live to Jobstown, another outside broadcast, Jobstown in Dublin. Could be the sporting event of the year, a world title fight. Standing by in Jobstown, Jimmy McGee, calling in. Jimmy McGee, are you there, Jimmy?
Good afternoon from ringside Jobstown, where there are a number of world title fights to be decided. This is afternoon's fight night is sponsored by Fine Gael, all is hunky-dory in association with Irish Water. And one of the most anticipated fights is the return bout between John the Bombshell Burton and Mary Lou Bone Cruncher McDonald. The first fight was refereed by Sean Barrett. John Bombshell Burton won that bout on a technical knockout when the Ken corner stopped the fight controversially in the fifth round. The arena is packed to the rafters. The atmosphere is electric. There's water balloons, eggs, water bottles, water meters flying in all directions, and John the Bombshell Burton has entered the ring. This is her second professional fight. Her first was a knockout when she floored Eamon the Gladiator Gilmore. She's dressed in the traditional colours of labour. A lovely red boob tube with matching miniskirt, fishnet stockings and white six-inch stilettos. And her opponent, Mary Lou Bone Crusher McDonald, who is just entering the ring. She's wearing the traditional colours of Sinn Féin. The familiar black and tan low-cut top with matching miniskirt, suitable for all occasions, from the very formal wear to the street protest look. She is wearing flesh-coloured pretty poly tights, and from this angle, she appears to have a ladder in one of them, or is it a stairway to heaven? The two boxers have contrasting style. McDonald is a natural northpaw, while Burton is a southpaw. McDonald is known for her explosive right hand, her sharp tongue, and her shot selection is always a joy to watch. But Bombshell Burton is also known for her ducking, her diving, her jabbing, and with a hard uppercut. Ah, yeah, Burton has made no secret of the fact that she wants a world title fight with End of the Awful Kenny to become the undisputed Taoiseach of this country.
And this should be an interesting fight. Slow down a bit there, Frank. You're turning from Jimmy McGee. into me, get your breath. You're doing brilliantly, Jimmy. That's Jimmy McGee. Oh, well, this should be an interesting fight. Are there any other fights of note on the undercard, Jimmy McGee, in case people don't know who he's doing it?
Two fights of note. There's Claire the Clawhammer Daly, socialist independent, up against Lucifer Crackshot Creighton, who's a member of the technical group. This should be fast and furious. Claire Daly, with the distinctive shock of red hair, is trained by Mick Willy Wonka Wallace, the only natural blonde of it all, and the last surviving member of Status Quo. And then there's Paul the Midge Murphy of Profit Before People fighting the government nominee, Brendan the Hitman Howland. This is, should be the Wisp versus the Wasps. Yahoo!
Well done, Jimmy.
Fascinating, Cand. We await the results, Jimmy, with a breath that is bated.
Oh, yeah, but Joe, before I go, Minister of State for Tourism and Sport, Michael Ring TD, Ringo Starr, has been introduced to the crowd, and he's made an announcement that he has secured $20 billion of funding for his hometown soccer team, Westport United. He intends to buy the Bernabeu Stadium and the entire Barcelona team, move them to Westport, including the iconic figure of Lionel Messi. And by this time next year, Ringo Starr, he'll be the president of FIFA.
Well
good
done, that's
good
Frank.
Good night from Jobstown.
And by the way, mentioning Jobstown, we have, and she's going over to the Thai show, Concepta O'Reilly. How are you, Concepta?
I'm grand.
I know you're in a hurry because you're going on. What are you doing in the Thai show, Concepta?
Loads of free toys.
Hey, fair play. Yeah, to you. You're looking forward to it.
Oh, it'll be great.
But you've written an essay in school this week about Paul Morphy.
Yeah, it's the conversion of Paul Morphy on the road to Dundrum from Goatstown.
Okay. From the Bible. This is a Bible story.
Yeah, Bible story. Okay. The Obies are.
Concepta, go ahead.
This is the story of how Paul of Austerity became the voice of the downtrodden and the oppressed. He was on the road one day to Dundrum from Goatstown when the great socialist Che Guevara appeared to him and shouted, "Up the revolution!" And Paul fell to his knees and began to pray in Irish, "Che Guevara wirra, at all on the grass." And from that day on, he became known as Paul the Socialist. And Paul the Socialist was shocking clever and very well educated. So he set off to help the poor people who had no money to pay their water taxes. Then one day, Paul was reading his Bible and he came across the book of Job, where it said, "Why do the righteous suffer?" So he went to see Job in Job's town. And there, Paul gathered the righteous sufferers to protest about the water taxes. But they soon became the riotous sufferers when they surrounded Joan the labourer, who was stuck in her carriage for 2 hours while the crowd led by Paul the Socialist and his friend Ruth shouted, "We won't pay." So a few days later, Joan the labourer met Paul in the temple and Joan gave out to him about what happened in Job's town. And Paul said, "Sure, the people were only revolting." But Joan said, "Well, I wouldn't go that far, but they certainly weren't very nice." But Paul and Jerry the Northerner, but Paul had Jerry the Northerner and Mary the Lou sitting in front of him in case anything kicked off. So he was safe enough. Then ended the leader, and some of the elders sat around and decided to change the water charges. And some of the elders said it was a shocking U-turn, but the people said it was more like a U-bend, as the first plans had been flushed down the toilet. So ended the leader, asked Alan of the Environment to announce the changes. So Alan began. Blessed are the water bills, for you won't see one till April. Blessed are the water savers, for you will receive €100. Blessed are the water wasters, for you will receive €100. Blessed are the water meters, for they will tell the difference. Blessed are ye on group water schemes, for you will receive €100. Blessed are the capped charges, for they will be held for years. Blessed is the closing date for registration, for this has been extended till February. Blessed are the single adults, for ye will pay €160. And blessed are the PPS numbers, for they shall be destroyed. So Alan got a great big clap from his friends, but some of the elders, including Paul the Socialist, said that Enda and Alan were on the run from the righteous sufferers. So Enda told the elders to go out and to the people and sell them the new plan. And he said, I know I send you out like lambs amongst wolves, but if any household or town refuses to welcome you, shake the dust from your feet and run like hell.
Brilliant. That's Declan Callis back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
The National Crafts and Design Fair at the RDS, 3rd to the 7th of December. If you haven't been, let me tell you about it. Crafts, mesmerising. The makers, inspirational. Design, innovative. Gifts, truly unique. Food Emporium, tastes from heaven. Atmosphere, it's White Christmas. Come to the National Crafts and Design Fair, RDS, 3rd to the 7th of December. A celebration of Irish crafts and gifts. And get all your Christmas shopping done under one roof. See nationalcraftsfair.ie.
More people are switching to Campus Oil for exceptionally low heating oil prices. Our flexible delivery service is available 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 6 days a week. Order today on 1850 430 430 or online at campusoil.ie and heat your home for less this winter. Campus Oil, low-cost heating oil.
This is TV presenter Lisa Cannon for Trocra Gifts. Now, I love finding earrings under the tree as much as the next girl. But imagine a Christmas gift that could do more than brighten up someone's day. Imagine a gift that could change someone's life forever. A Trocra gift like a goat that could provide a new source of income for a family in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is a gift that would keep on giving for generations. One that would give this one family a true sense of empowerment. That's why this Christmas, I'm asking you to buy a Trocra gift for your loved ones. Make someone really happy this Christmas. Trocra gifts are available at trocra.org, Eason's or Veritas stores and at your local post office.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Welcome back.
I love the cold weather.
Why is that?
Well, it's freezing. I love coming home, putting my feet up and listening to a roaring wife. But I call my wife Satnav because I'd be lost without her. But my friend Eugene, I was talking to you today, he says, see, his wife has a very bad habit. I said, what are you doing? He said, she's always biting her nails. So I said, did you cure her? He said, yeah. I said, how? He said, I hit her teeth. But the two old ladies, one says to the other, she said, my husband, when we got married first, he was always coming in late. I was wondering where he was. But she said, I cured him. And the other one says, how'd you cure him? I said, she came in home one night and I says to him, is that you, Larry? And that cured him. I says, how did that cure him? His name's George.
Very good.
And one says to her, she said, you know what? You were married the same day as me. And I've 8 kids and you've only 1. How do you do it? Oh, she said, I use the vinegar method. The vinegar method? She said, what's that? All the women now are listening to this. You don't realise. The vinegar method. Well, she said, when I hear my husband coming in and I know he's a bit randy, I just sprinkle vinegar all over my body. The doctor says, what does that do? Well, she when he gets the smell of vinegar, all he wants is chips. You'll be telling that tomorrow.
The women talking. One says, how many children have you got? You have 3. How many have you got? 16 children. Yeah, you should give your husband the knighthood. He said, he has one, but he won't use it.
Talking about a night called England's favourite Irish man is with us, Roy Keane. Roy, another shock announcement today.
Who said I'm English? No, you're English.
Yeah, what?
Who told you that? Who told you? I'm not English. I'm from Mayfield. I'm Ireland's favourite Irishman. Get straight, will you? And turn off your phone. Is your phone off?
Sil, you needn't turn off your phone. It doesn't ring anyway. So you know. Why did you leave Aston Villa? What happened this morning?
Same reason. They were at the back of the bus again. They were all up there on the top eating the prawn sandwiches, and I was in the suits. I was down the back in me Penny's tracksuit eating chips. Of course, I left them, and I couldn't do the double job in anyway. Two incomes, I wouldn't qualify for the medical care. Or the water charges.
You did mention, and when you were being interviewed by Sean O'Rourke, indeed, it was quite interesting. You talked about the expense of rearing three girls. You are. It is tough out there.
Absolutely. No one knows it more than me. That's why I left them. I mean, I'm not big kids. I love my kids. But that's why I tried to get the other job, but it didn't work out.
What did happen in that hotel?
Very simple. Very simple. A man come up to me tearing me book. I goes, what are you doing? I said, you're littering the floor. I goes, I don't believe in litter. I goes, Mayfield is spotless. And I gave him a... I bopped him. I dropped him. Same old story with Aston Villa. No balls. No nets, no goals. We're training in a roundabout. What would you do?
Okay, song. Thanks, Roy. Stay with us. Just stay. You can give us your verdict on this song, written in your honour.
I'm disgusted, Joe, I tell you. He's letting down the ordinary people of Cork, he is, and tell you that. It's very unfair, like. I saw the look in his eye as he walked out on Villa. Flickers of red mist from days on the pitch showed once more. He was resigning, but he showed no sign of remorse as he walked through the door. Bye, 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 Roy Keane, oh. Time to fly, Roy Keane, oh. You've made a few bob, but it's time to get a new job. Once more you're waving goodbye as you walk out the door. I tell you where it started now. It started in Saipan when you walked right out on McCarthy. Then Fergie said farewell before it was time.
What are you on the
boat? Right then you left Celtic. Southampton and Ipswich both lost you, but you're in your prime.
What are you about Celtic for? What are you about Celtic?
Bye, 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 Roy Keane. Time to fly, Roy Keane. You made a few bob, but it's time for you now for a new job. Once more, you're waving goodbye as you head out the door. Now, Martin O'Neill must be waiting to hear if you're calling.
Not to do what is.
Tell you now, boy. He's read your first book and your second, The Tale of Two Halves. The football clubs, you're just trolling. Together, more stories, more rows, and maybe some laughs. So bye, 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 Roy Keane, oh, I'm disgusted.
It's you time disgusted.
To
what are you
fly, Roy Keane, oh, put your head back in, boy. You made a few bob, but it's time now to get a new job. Once more you'll be waving goodbye as you head out the door. All right, this is my last word on it now.
You see me redundancy package?
At the end of the day, as you say, we've got to be honest. No point in headbutting me, Roy, or giving me looks. You hear me now?
'cause you've gone from football. For you now it's TV and signing your next football book. All together now. Come on now, Roy. Bye, 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 Roy Keane.
Six Champions League medals. Six Premiership medals.
Time to fly, Roy Keane. You've made a few bob, but it's time now to get a new job. Once more, you're waving goodbye as you head out the door. Big finish. Once more, you're waving goodbye as you head out the door.
Roy, what do you think, Roy? Are you happy with that?
It's joking. Why? Happy with that?
Why, Roy?
Even John did anything's better than that. The bloke's a tool. He's looking at me as a tool.
Come here, come over here, say that.
What do you think of what happened, John Delaney, Roy?
What do you think of him?
Yeah.
I told you, I told the world what I think of him. I think I noticed that man. He's only a tool.
Uachtaráin the Héireann, Michael D. Higgins. Welcome now. Uachtaráin, silence. Yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back to Funny Friday. Welcome back from Africa. Very successful tour. But I understand when you arrived back, you were, to say the least, none too pleased the way the government had gone without your presence in the country.
And how would you be, might I ask? Sabina and I, Joe, are having a well-earned break in Africa, and I return to Ireland in the middle of my holiday. I have to, because the doll it's out of control. As Kieran Donaghy would say, what do you think of that, Joe Brawley? I wouldn't mind, but before I went, I made it my business, Joe, to call over to the doll to see Indiana Kenny and warned him that while Sabina and I were, you know, gone away, to mind the doll, put out the lights, lock up, feed Shadow, and above all, not to be fighting. And I gave Indiana and Micheál Martin and Gerry Adams and Joan a big box of roses each, and I told them to share them round at break time. And above all, not to be picking on that new boy, Paul Murphy, and to play with him. I know, Joe, he has challenging behaviour. When he's told to stand up, he'll sit down, and when he's told to sit down, he'll stand up. And I told them that if they were all, you know, very good while I was gone, I'd bring them back a surprise. And I left Sean Barrett in charge of them. And I gave him 20 woodbine and a baby power and told him that if any of them were bold, to push them outside. And just in case, you know, they got bored, you know, of the old business, Joe, I left a maths problem for them to be working.
Idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
It was a simple question. How much would it cost to install all the water meters all over Ireland? You know, Joe, they need to be thinking of those problems because in 18 months' time, they'll all have exams.
Well, you yourself and Sabine arrived in Africa. Look, obviously, you're looking forward to your holiday. And take us through what happened.
Yes, well, Joe, to be honest, we got on the government jet and we were so excited getting away and we took our seats and I said to Sabine, I have the government credit card with me. I nicked it out of Indiana's wallet. And when we get to Africa, we'll give it welly. And Joe, I had a few nice bevvies, you know, on the plane. And I fell asleep and I started having, you know, what now turns out to be premonitions. Ronnie Delaney and Angus O'Smoothie and the Wolf Tones were recording a charity single for Africa. It was a song about Mary Lou MacDonald on the blanket protest in the Dáil, and she was looking for political status. It just was crazy, so it was, Joe. And anyways, Joe, we arrived at the airport in Africa, and I was looking forward to a stretch limousine waiting for us. You know, a bit of razzmatazz, because I'm the president.
Yeah.
What was our taxi? Only three elephants. The trunks of them, you know, the one behind tied to the tail and one in front, and Joe, they were massive. Or Maffus, whatever you want to call them. There was one for Sabina, one for myself, and one for the luggage. And before I knew it, one of the elephants caught me around the waist, Joe, with his trunk, and threw me onto his back. And Sabina's elephant done the same, and didn't his tusk get caught in her new tights and ripped them? I wouldn't mind, but she only brought, you know, another good pair with her. She was like a devil. And Sabina's elephant was directly in front of mine, and he never stopped whistling through his aorist for the full journey. I was spifflicated with the smell, Joe. He must have been eating dry roasted peanuts and heads of cabbage and garlic. I had to let down the window in my elephant.
But I'm sure when we get to, given that you were head of state with your hotel, I'm sure your hotel was fantastic, and that made up for it. Of course, your head of state and Ireland, and indeed you in particular, Luke Duran, are much respected throughout Africa. So you would have got a lot of good treatment, surely, from then
hotel.
On in.
Good hotel. How do, Killarney? We arrived. It was a glorified wigwam. The general manager came out. He must have been sponsored by Dulux and the Road Safety Authority. He was all continuous broken white lines all over his body. And Sabina got really upset. She was hysterical because she was signing the visitor's book and wasn't there two fleas sitting on the page? And she said to me, it's bad enough when there's fleas in a hotel, but when they come down to see what room you're in. And I was looking forward to a state banquet because I was starving. What do you think it was? Snake soup and fillet of buffalo. Couldn't eat it, Joe. As luck would have it, Joe, to be honest, I had a Mars bar in my pocket.
But, Luke, did you see much of Africa? I mean, surely that's an experience for anybody.
Well, we went on safari and then we went across, you know, the desert, and all we had was two camels. And I was enjoying that, Joe, to be honest, out of the blue. Just this African came running towards me. He must have been an African county councillor. I didn't know who he was. And he started shouting at Sabina and I, Master Higgins, Master Higgins, Mama Higgins, Mama Higgins, you need to go back to Ireland because Hindu Kinney and Moan Burton are in deep trouble with the water charges. I asked my camel, would he turn around and bring me to the nearest airport? And he told me to hump off.
But you did get to the nearest airport, Luke Duran, and you did get back to Ireland. And but you were reported there was an incident on the plane before you landed in Shannon. Is that true? You were abrupt, uncooperative with the hostess. Would that be?
I was upset. I was travelling first class and this air hostess asked me, would I like to watch a movie? I was upset at having to go back and I said, maybe. I says, have you a box set of Love, Hate? And she said, no. Well, I said, surely you've a box set of Glen Rowe? She said, no. Well, I said, surely, you know, the one before Glen Rowe, you've a box set of The Oriordans. She said, I said, you know, Tom and Mary and Benji and Dolores. She said, no, I lost the plot. The pilot was sent for and I gave him the Glasgow kiss, which was the head in the face, and I was arrested.
But you got back to the doll, and were you surprised with Mary Lou McDonald refusing to leave her seat?
Oh, by the time I got back to the doll, Joe, I was like a cut cat. Huh? Entered the doll chamber and there was Indiana Kenny crying. And I told him to get his pyjamas and go straight up to bed. And I was about to go for Mary Lou when Sean Barrett stopped me and he warned me that she was armed with a jacuzzi submachine gun and that she'd wrench me. Isn't it hard lines when I cannot leave the country? You know. And then, Joe, then...
There was ructions in the doll the other week between Sinn Féin and the Count Carla. Mary Lou would not shut up, so he ruled her out of order. Mary Lou, what do do? Mary Lou, oh, calm down, will ya? Mary Lou, what a to do? Mary Lou, take a chill pill, will ya? But Mary Lou refused to move and did not give in to all the baiting. That's okay with us, said all the rest. We'll be in the doll bar waiting. Mary Lou, what a to do? Mary Lou, oh, calm down, will ya? Mary Lou, what a to do? Mary Lou, take a chill pill, will ya? So Mary Lou was all alone in the doll for 2 hours in her chair. But guess who pays for her sitting? Who but the poor taxpayer? Mary Lou, what a to do? Mary Lou, oh, calm down, will ya? Mary Lou, what a to do? Mary Lou, take a chill pill, will ya? There was was more shenanigans just the other day. It was a real humdinger. Forget the doll, for it looked more like an episode of Jerry Springer. Mary Lou, what a to-do. Mary Lou, oh, calm down, will ya? Mary Lou, what a to-do. Mary Lou, take a chill pill, will ya?
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
A compact crossover that combines quality engineering and distinctive style with space, strength and comfort that comes with a 5-year warranty? Voilà, the Peugeot 2008.
Test drive the Peugeot 2008 at any Peugeot dealer and ask about our 3.9% APR Peugeot Passport Finance.
Peugeot, affordable quality.
Lending criteria, terms and conditions apply. Deposit required. Finance is provided by way of a hire purchase agreement. The credit provider is Bank of Ireland Finance, which is a registered trading name of Bank of Ireland, at participating dealers only.
I never thought for a second that my kids and I would be homeless. I'm terrified that we mightn't have a roof over our head in a few weeks. They're worried that Santa won't find them, that the presents won't be under the tree. It's been the scariest time of my life. Threshold help families stay in their home and they even answer calls on Christmas Day.
Please support Threshold's most vital Christmas appeal ever on Low Call 1890 43 44 45 or visit threshold.ie. That's 1890 43 44 45.
I'd love to start my own business.
I'd love to grow my small business. But where can we get access to credit? Have you heard of Microfinance Ireland? It was set up by the government to help small business heroes just like you. You can now get a microfinance loan of up to €25,000 through your local enterprise office, and it even comes at a discounted rate. Why don't you visit microfinanceireland.ie or talk to your local enterprise office to find out more? Microfinance Ireland, supporting jobs in your local community.
RTE Radio 1.
What are we, if we're not our stories?
This January, don't miss a major theatrical event. Brendan Gleeson, Brian Gleeson and Donald Gleeson star together on stage in Enda Walsh's furiously funny masterpiece, The Walworth Farce. The Olympia Theatre Dublin from January 10th for 4 weeks only. Tickets are selling fast. Book now.
Entertainment updates with RTE Radio 1.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And then, in like Flint to defend Mary Lou after that dirge we heard before the break from Declan O'Brien. And then before that, who was singing before that? I don't know who was singing before that. Before that, we were talking to various people. So I'll let Gerry Adams gather himself there because he is present to Sinn Féin and he has to be treated with proper authority.
Further usage of Uachtaráin. The Gaelic.
Appellation. Okay, just as you gather yourself there and the Director General pumps up your chair and plugs it in. Sil Fox, have any jokes?
Well, I have, yeah. A knock comes to the door and this one answers the door and this guy said, excuse me, Mary, he said, have you got a Nilfisk? She, a what? He said, a Nilfisk vacuum cleaner. And no, she have a carpet sweep, it'll do me. I said, Mrs, this vacuum cleaner have his magic, it's the best in the world.
Go away.
Yeah. She, I don't want it, I have a carpet sweeper. He said, Mrs, it's magic. She, I'm not telling you, I don't want the thing. Yeah. Do you know what the guy did? He got all the soot, threw it all over our hall. Oh, she come here, what are you doing that for? He said, don't worry, madam, this vacuum cleaner have his magic. Yes, you better be, the electricity was cut off last Tuesday. And the same when she went up to Tala Hospital and she says to your man, she, are you a plastic surgeon? He said, no, madam, this is the laboratory. And she wears to the plastic surgeon. He says, down the corridor. She goes down, knocks at the door. Bell answers, excuse me, she, is this for you a plastic surgeon? No, he said, madam, this is the x-ray department. She said, where's the plastic surgeon? Next door. She said, fella comes out in the white coat. She said, you a plastic surgeon? He said, yes, man, what can I do for you? She said, would you ever put a handle on me bucket? And the woman called her, she came out of the pet shop and she had a goldfish in a bag. Yeah. And her friend says, what, Lizzie, not another goldfish? Yeah. She said, your mate said you have now, she's 57. 57 goldfish, she said, where'd you keep them? She in the bath. In the bath. She, and what do you do, she when you want to take a bath? Or she, I blindfold them.
Doc Savage is with us. Have you much work over Christmas, Sil?
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were waiting on a load of lies.
Doc Savage.
A fella said to me the other day, he said, you know, I met my wife in a nightclub. I said, did you? Yeah. It was a big surprise to me. I thought she was at home when the kids at the time. I'm 24 for all. For someone asked Aston Villa, and you know, a friend of mine's a great Liverpool supporter, and he was telling me a story that Brendan Rodgers, who's a Liverpool manager,
of course, yeah, we know
he was
that,
seen
yeah.
the other day, he was seen breaking into a cigarette machine looking for 10 players. And by the way, there's a fella came on to his wife and he said, we're going to make love a new way tonight. And she watched that. He said, we're going to make love back to back. He said, how do you become? How do you make love back to back? He said, I'm bringing a couple in from next door.
I'm going to try that tonight.
Jerry, Uchtaran, Sinn Féin, and Will Touré. Can we do it? Can we do it? But you were, yeah, I know you were taken aback. I mean, the march is coming up on December 10th. I know it's a time for calm heads, and I suppose nobody wants a repetition, do they, of what happened to the Tánaiste and Jobson? And do you feel a responsibility to calm?
Well, first of all,
hot heads.
There are issues. There are issues in respect of the Tánaiste in her car. Outside that community centre, I believe she was in her car, but I don't believe the Tánaiste was locked in. We have information from Republican investigators that she was in fact putting on her makeup and reading a copy of Hello magazine for 2.5 hours outside the community centre. Some decent people who happen to be passing by her, decent Republican people who happen to be passing by her car, offered her a cup of tea. And some of them may have knocked on the door or the window to attract her attention, but they failed to do so. When she finished reading Hello magazine, she started looking at the shopping channel on her mobile device. When she finished that, we've information that she started doing her nails. So there are issues.
What about the allegations that some protesters tried to upend their car?
Well, we have information from Republican investigators. A few pigeons. There may have been as many as a dozen pigeons landed on the roof of her car. And there was a stiff breeze, and the Tánaiste may have confused this with an attempt to overturn her car.
The water balloon that was thrown and hit the Tánaiste.
The water balloon, according to investigators from the Republican movement, that was allegedly. No, this is serious. We need to be serious. We need to be serious about these issues. Because the Republican movement have taken certain flack. The water balloon that was allegedly thrown from her was in fact something that fell off the Philae lander while the comet was orbiting over West Dublin. Absolutely nothing to do with Republican protesters.
You're saying that the water balloon...
Yes, the water balloon.
That hit the Tánaiste. John Burton. Fell off. That lander thing that was didn't land on the car. And that was attempting to touch down on... Who told you that?
Mary Lou. And I believe everything. As a gesture of reciprocation, I believe everything Mary Lou tells me.
You believe her? You believe her totally?
Absolutely. The protesters, most of the protesters were not members of the Republican movement, were in fact Martians. who were on a shopping trip to Aldi. They were looking to buy an angle grinder. I believe they also had on their itinerary a trip to Carontool. And while they were outside the community centre in their flying saucer, a bit tired after the journey, they decided to simply sit down and just happened to sit down in front of the Tánaiste's car. Complete coincidence.
Complete? Well, what about video footage? A protester throwing a variety of missiles at the car.
I know this is radio, Joe, but I have, in fact, pictures of here of the missiles, and anyone can see they're flower petals. And by the way, can I just say, if the minister is still traumatised, I can arrange for her to be helped by some decent people in the Republican movement.
In what way?
Well, if the minister wishes, and this is an offer being made in good faith, if the minister wishes to take up this offer, I can arrange to have her picked up this evening in a black taxi, quite late this evening, and taken to a secret location and to be interviewed by members of the Republican movement, decent people, where she will be introduced to the person she alleges to the water balloon. And I'll be personally there with colleagues, including Mary Lou, to examine the body language of the minister and to determine who's telling the truth.
But when Sinn Féin get in government, because there's some confusion about water charges, will you abolish the water charges?
There are issues in respect of governance, accept that. But we're not just saying we'll abolish the water charges, but Sinn Féin and government will have a referendum proposing the abolition of all taxes and charges for those earning less than the average industrial wage.
The average, and how would that be paid for?
We will introduce...
How do you propose to pay for that?
Well, we will introduce a 100% tax on all income over the average industrial wage. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for Mary Lou. If you're prudent, it's surprising how far you can make the average industrial wage stretch. For instance, on the average industrial wage, Mary Lou regularly travels business class. I have most of my medical treatment in the United States, and for simple procedures, I go to Switzerland. And quite remarkably, on the average industrial wage, the leader, i.e. myself, maintains the same number of houses as P. Flynn over there. And remember, P. Flynn, and P. will confirm this, P. Flynn needed over $250,000 a year to pull that stunt off. You should read Gerry Adams' epic poem for being brought out for Christmas, Living the Dream on the Average Industrial Wage.
It's interesting the way you refer to yourself in the third person now, Uachtaráin.
Well, when you're leading a party for 31 years, I think you're entitled to that indulgence.
But that kind of tax regime would create lots of highly foreseeable difficulties. The flight from Ireland of medical consultants, the effect of it having waiting lists, when we talk about hip operations, knee operations.
Well, let me be clear. Just to say that Sinn Féin have friends in respect of knee operations. Sinn Féin have friends who developed considerable expertise in knee operations over the years. And anyone that don't work out well, let's just say we know where to bury the evidence. So people need not worry on that.
Pádraig Flynn, is it Pádraig, were you upset that Sinn Féin dragged you into this row? The three houses issue being brought up again and again. Are these allegations without foundations?
Absolutely. I just want to say that I have no intention of joining Sinn Féin, but it appears to be. Now, from looking at it all, that it's an uproar and that Sinn Féin are running this country. And why wouldn't they, exist on the industrial wage? Because they're cash rich. Three loads of cash, pre-1970s.
Okay, we leave that. Yeah, Pádraig, I know it's a difficult time. And we have a pretty young girl now who's joined us with a pail.
You'd be pale too, Joe, if you had a job like mine.
No, I don't mean a pail as in a bucket, as a receptacle.
Who are you calling a pail bucket?
No, what's your name?
My name is Jill, and I went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, but the well was metered. Although there was water there plenty, I came straight back down the hill with me poor old bucket empty.
Ah, that's sad verse.
Not really, because a nice man called Mr. Turney's after giving me a job as head of marketing in Irish Water.
Ah, that's great news. That's fantastic. What would be your...
Do you want to buy some water? Yes, that's right, you gotta pay. Because it's not free anymore. Unless you borrow well, then you're okay. The man from Finnegan said, the water's scarce, cause it doesn't fall from the sky. Do you wanna buy some water? It's quite expensive, Irish water. No, nice try. I'm the girl from Irish Water. I've something else to tell. To flush away your number ones and number twos, you have to pay as well. I know it's crap. Things will get a little smelly unless you cough the dosh. We're watching the meters fly. Drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip. We no longer need your details, PPS and all the rest. If you do, there'll be a bonus too, but for us, not you. So just give in, and we give you back your water, but not for free. So what are you gonna do? Do you wanna buy some water? I'll take that as a no then.
That's June Rogers, and June is going straight to the Red Cow Hotel on the Naas Road. She'll be there every night until the 29th of December, most nights, in fact, and it's an absolutely fantastic show. And then she'll be going to the Silver Springs Hotel on the 3rd or 4th in January. That's in Cork. And also our colleague Frank Toomey. Sorry, that's in January. Yeah, I said that. 3rd or 4th of January.
Gigs in January. June, I love you.
We don't understand, but we like it.
And our colleague Frank Toomey is on in the Panto in the Everyman Palace. Great. Cinderella, he is today. Okay, it's 25 to 3. You're listening to Funny Friday. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Have you accessed ESB Network's PowerCheck app? Using leading-edge technology, it gives you live updates about interruptions to your electricity supply, including information about when power will be restored. Get PowerCheck on your smartphone and you will always be in the know. You can download it for free from the App Store, visit us at esbnetworks.ie or follow us on Twitter. PowerCheck. Live service interruption information at your fingertips. An initiative from ESB Networks as part of our commitment to first-class customer service for all electricity customers.
Drop what you're doing. The HMV and Extravision Black Friday weekend is now on with massive savings across all departments. That's up to 60% off the biggest titles in movies, games, technology and music. Plus 40% off all vinyl. Outrageous deals for this weekend only. When they're gone, they're gone. So get down early to avoid disappointment. The Black Friday weekend at HMV and Extravision. Don't miss out.
It's Carpet Right's crazy sale with 25% off hundreds of carpets plus great deals on vinyl too. But hurry, it's your last chance to have your new floor delivered and fit in time for Christmas. Plus, you can rest assured that we'll beat any quote. That's our price promise on everything we do. Our crazy sale ends Tuesday, 8 p.m. at Carpet Right. Feel right at home.
The Marion Finucane Show, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 1 on RTE Radio 1.
What stood out, I think, for a lot of people was that no one would ever stand over your grave and say, wasn't she great at paying her water tax? But that's when your children would be thinking about you and parenting.
Yeah, Enda Kenny isn't going to stand over my grave and kind of go, Jesus, fair play for all taxes checked. But it'll be my children who will look at me and kind of go, geez, she spent our whole childhood pushing us in the car, into crashes, rush, 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 as the years just fly by.
The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're joined by Joe Higgins. Maybe welcome back. Before we talk about water charges, Joe, can I ask, you know, you are a Kerryman, I know you represent the Dublin constituency, but you are a Kerryman, a proud Kerryman. The destruction, it's been on all the radio stations this week, the destruction of the cross on top of Carron Tool. You must be devastated, Joe.
Well, as a practising atheist, I have no particular view on the issue, and I would really prefer to talk about the inexorable rise of the Socialist Party and our imminent takeover of this country, and the consequent crushing of the reactionary forces allied to the transnational corporations waging war on the ordinary working people.
Yeah, but we know what, but what about the cross everyone is talking about? Would you be in favour of state funding being made for the re-erection of the cross
there
on top of Carron Tool?
There are many more appropriate monuments. Was that your question?
It was.
There are many more appropriate monuments which would be more in tune with the new political realities in the kingdom, where an estimated 90% of the population have now indicated that they're going to vote socialist at the next election.
So, I mean, even looking at that, but what have you in mind? Well, you said you were a practicing atheist, a lapsed atheist, or whatever. But what have you in mind as an alternative?
I find this extraordinarily exasperating. Bertie Ahern was given 2 pages on last week's Sunday Independent, and now you're trying to steer me away from my central thesis about the ordinary working people. But I just say, I haven't given this much thought, but I'd really much prefer to focus on the burning issue of the day. And I believe that serious consideration should be given to erecting a statue of Joseph Stalin
on top
of Carron Tool.
Joseph Stalin.
Yes, people may not know this, but Joe was one of the Stalins of Lichnow. A lot of his family still live on the edge of the Dingle Peninsula, and in fact his third cousin, Mossy Stalin, played cornerback for Austin Stacks. Another member of the family, Faulkner, Stalin is the holder of 3 All-Ireland medals. But I'd really much prefer to talk about ordinary working people.
No, we leave it at that, because we've another Joe here, Joe O'Connor. Joe, you're very welcome.
That's appalling.
Joe, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me in, Joe. Today's poem really strikes the difference between those of us who have it and the rest who don't. I was sitting in my garret waiting with my pen on hold. I was waiting for my muse for a thought of Gaelic gold. I was having Bombay sapphire with a slice of finest lime and preparing more reflections for my slot on my drive time. I was sucking on an olive whilst my valet ran the tub and my maid was in the kitchen knocking up a bit of grub. As I listened to Vivaldi baiting out his own 4 seasons, I was sitting looking smug, cause I could, for many reasons. Then I heard a big commotion in the street outside my pad and I looked to see the reason, cause it sounded really bad. And the sight that caught my vision left my countenance quite jolted. They had come to fit a meter and the peasants had revolted. Well, the boys came with the shovels and the girls whipped out their banners, and once the cones were spotted, everyone forgot their manners. It was just like our Black Friday, only nothing here was free. It was all about the battle, all about the Almalee. So abuse was hurled and names were called. There was pushing, there was shoving, there was lots of righteous anger and very little loving. It was looking pretty tricky, what's a scribe supposed to do? So I asked my Turkish bodyguard to call the boys in blue. And soon around the corner with its lights all flashing brightly came the guards who warned the kind of stuff would not be taken lightly. And they stood beside the meter man and the scene became intense as the water boys put up a little 2-foot plastic fence. And then the thing got hijacked and it all got kind of wild. And the politicians stood out on the edge and they just smiled. And I watched from my veranda as I sipped a glass of cava, as a peaceful loving mother donned her peaceful balaclava. And I heard the politician wave his hand and tell the crowd that they had to shout the message and they had to shout it loud. So they screamed and roared the message till they got it off their chests with their multicoloured banners and fluorescent high-vis vests. And they made their short home movies on their top-range mobile phones. So I asked my maid to bring me up my morning tea and scones. I felt like a Roman emperor. This was my every poet's dream. I was watching from my throne. This was my own Colosseum. And then into the arena, well, I couldn't see for certain, but I'd almost swear this chariot bore the gladiator Bruton as she rode into the fracas, and this incensed the mob. How dare she stop them stopping men trying to do a job? And so the peaceful riot surged toward the blackened car like a scene at any football fight or unruly public bar. And Paul, the shiny socialist's little heart was beating fast. This was his glorious moment. How could he make it last? He imagined he was Lennon and all would turn out grand. Now that's Lennon from the Red Square, not Lennon from the band. And so on his loud hailer, he appeared for calm and quick, if anyone felt so inclined to throw a peaceful brick. And Joan sat there, terrified for nearly 2 whole hours. And meanwhile, in Dáil Éireann, there was movement from the powers. And the word came to the baying crowd, the government had shifted. The ban on washing underwear and body parts was lifted. The price of adding water to your jemmy had been halved. And from my boudoir, I could see this drove them daft. Why stop now, I heard them say. Here's what we're going to do. We won't stop till we get a grant to flush the bleeding loo. We'll stand our ground bold, hold the line. We won't give up the fight till they pay us all to whittle and reward us when we sip tea. It was like the insurrection. This was our modern GPO. No more United Nations, no more Let's Talk to Joe. The time for talk was over. A brand new protest dawn, beyond a doubt, the genie's out. A terrible beauty has been born.
Another classic Joe O'Connor piece from Bob Curley. Well done, Bob Curley.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It's going to be huge. The Paracity Black Friday sale is now on. To find out more, go online to paracity.ie or call in-store today.
At Argos, get set for playtime. Get an extra 15% off toys on top of our other amazing offers. Offer ends Monday. Go Argos.
Conditions apply.
What to get the friend I know too well at this stage? Something to show off on nights out? Maybe replace the scarf that never quite made it home? Or perhaps update the wardrobe I've been borrowing from since we were 16? Here's to borrowing from it for years to come.
Every gift has a story. At Kildare Village, there's 60% off brands like Enfield, Karen Millen and LK Bennett. Step into the story this Christmas at Kildare Village.
Coming up on RTE Radio 1, Mooney Goes Wild with Olin McGowan, and today a peek at 4 barn owls living a semi-urban life, passive housing and energy savings, and the development of a comprehensive Irish mammal atlas. Coming up on Mooney, right after Liveline.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Toy show tonight, nativity play, time of year.
There we go.
Of all the things we do at Christmas preparing for the day, one of my favourites has to be the school nativity play. The mams and dads all turn up to see their little tots making their acting debuts, their tummies tied in knots. Cameras and camcorders of every shape and size await to catch the moment when their little dear arrives. Eventually the lights go down, the audience slowly quieten. There's a lengthy silence first of all, and then the sound of fighting. One of the wise men has kicked a shepherd who hid his frankincense, and the shepherd tells the wise man,
"Buddy, you're past tense."
But the teacher grabs the pair of them and starts to say, "Now look," when a little angel comes over to say,
"Miss, the curtain's stuck."
Miss hares over to the curtain as fast as she can get. She gives the rope a mighty tug and nearly takes down half the set. At last, the play gets underway, and the narrator takes her place. And as she walks out on the stage, she gets slagged by all her mates. She reads it like the clappers. The teacher whispers, "Read it slow." And every sentence that she says, she starts off with, "And so."
"And so, Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, having travelled night and day. And so, Joseph knocked on the door of the inn, hoping they could stay."
Now, the innkeeper is the tallest guy in the class by far, and as luck would seem to have it, his daddy's a bouncer in a bar. So he adds in bits to the script himself to make himself sound bad. Little tips he'd picked up from listening to his dad.
"Are you as regulars? Is this a stag? Can you show me some ID? He's having a hope of getting in here, like this is Christmas week." But we are desperate. My name is Jophus. My wife is giving birth. She's going to have a baby, the saviour of the earth." "Gee, I thought I heard them all before. That's a good one, I have to say. Go on. There's a little stable round the back. I won't even charge you for the hay."
"And so, a little later in the stable, there is joy. And so, the Virgin Mary gave birth to a baby boy."
But there's chaos in the stable, and the Virgin Mary freezes. Slowly she begins to cry, "I can't find the baby, Jesus." There's panic on the sidelines as they try to rectify the matter, while the teacher's on the point of leaving and going on to batter. She looks high and low for the missing doll, shouting, "How could someone lose him?" But all she finds is a postman Pat. No choice, she'll have to use him. She wraps a sheet around him as fast as she is able and gets a little angel to smuggle it to the stable. Meanwhile, the shepherds are all on the stage wearing tea towels on their heads. It's easy to tell because one of the towels says "Souvenir of Holyhead." Then the angels suddenly appear and they do a little dance, and one of the shepherds gets such a fright he piddles in his pants.
"And so, far into the distance, there came in from the east. And so, the three little wise men arrive once the star has ceased."
They each present their precious gifts to the babe on Mary's lap, and the three of them are wondering,
"Why is he wearing a postman's cap?"
"And so,"
says the narrator with obvious delight,
"that is the finish of the story about that silent night."
And the cast all join together with a closing Christmas song, and the mams and the dads in the audience proudly sing along. And they all go to thank the teacher, whose left eye has begun to twitch, and praise her for how the show went off without the slightest hitch.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Well done. That's June Rogers and the wonderful Declan O'Brien. Michal and Mira Hurtig is here in for sports this weekend. Welcome to Funny Friday again, Michal. You followed, and it was a story of Benji, the gay bull in Mayo that had been retired, very sad, retired to the UK. You say there was another bull in the South Mayo area who appeared to be gay but was actually cured of a heel.
Oh, he was. He was a pedigree Belgian blue bull, a Fine Gael bull called Stingy. Now, the farmer noticed that he had no interest in the cow, and the farmer, of course, was very upset, and he gave him extra feed, and it was no good. He even got the cows to smarten themselves up, you know, Joe, wear nice mini skirts and thongs, you know, them things, and nice low-cut tops, and he got them to put on lipstick and perfume and eyeshadow. He got them to flash their eyes at the bull and moo nice and softly, but it was no good. The bull wouldn't even go for a drink to the trough with the cows. He wouldn't even go out on a date with the young ones. Not alone were the cows upset, but the farmer was distraught. The farmer went down to Limerick for the bull haze. Brought him up in a trailer into the field, along with the bull, and said, "'Tis your field, bull." Still no good, the farmer got vets from all over Ireland, you know, and then eventually he got a vet, so he did, or a bullologist from London. Now, you know, he just a man that would look to see why the bull had lost his libido, you know. But anyways, this English bullologist examined the bull. He examined his hydraulic lift, Joe, and so on and so forth. And after several hours of examination, he prescribed a small white tablet, was no bigger than a Smartie. He warned the farmer that when he was feeding the bull in the morning, he was only to give him one with his meal or his nuts or whatever he was giving him. But the bullologist said that after 6 or 7 weeks, you know, the bull would begin to rediscover the magic of love. Now, Paddy went out the following morning and he looked at, you know, the box of tablets, small white tablets, very small, and he looked at the size of the bull. Well, he took a fistful of the tablets and he threw them in on top of the nuts and he threw in another fistful for good luck. Now, the bull got a mouthful of the tablets and started getting horribly hot. The poor farmer hardly made it out of the slatted house. The bull came out through the bars. They couldn't keep cows in front of him. The Vishag bull also go war. Then even more neighbours brought more cows and they were, you know, they tweeted and everything. And there was all types of cows brought and the farmer was exhausted. After all these cows in front of the bull, and he went down to the pub that evening, Joe, for a well-earned pint, and he met a neighbour. Now the neighbour asked him, how did the bullologist get on with the bull? The farmer says, great. He said he prescribed a small, white, round tablet to be given every morning to the bull. The neighbour said, what's the name of the tablet? The farmer says, I don't know, but they taste like peppermint.
But you say that the teams are back in training unofficially, and there are new methods of training you've noticed around the country. Can you unveil what this is? It doesn't... Include the use of drugs, which is most unusual.
No, it involves the use of drugs. Now, I have an exclusive on this one. I happened by chance, Joe, to go up a tree outside Semple Stadium in Thurles, and I branched off. And I could see all the Tipperary hurling panel walking dogs for a solid 3 hours around the pitch. And this was happening twice a week. I couldn't figure it out, Joe. But you know, Joe, that I'm a far clichter, and it eventually came to me. I closed my eyes. And then, you know what the management were trying to do? They were trying to teach the Tipperary hurlers how to hold on to a lead in a tight game.
That's very good. And speaking of hurling, Kilkenny hurlers, All-Ireland champions, normal service resumed, and of course, the great Henry Shefflin, top cat.
Top cat. Biggest fear, you know, now when you're going round maybe into a small country shop in Kilkenny, you'd be worried that you'd get all Ireland medals in your change. Now, I experienced an apparition, Joe. This was in Kilkenny Castle. There was a big open fire, Joe. This, now, you know, it came to me. On one side of the fire was Brian Cody, a bald cat. And on the other side of the fire was Henry Shefflin, a ginger cat. And both of them were lapping up 2 saucers of Glanbia cream and a Kit Kat each they were having. And I went to that dreamacologist, what do you call him, Michael Murphy, and he said it was a sign that they weren't going to retire. Now.
Yes, well done. And we also have Charlie McCreevy here. Charlie McCreevy, how are you? Good to see you. I know you're less busy these days. How are you keeping, Charlie?
I look kind of grand, Joe. I was going to say as good as could be expected. I just leave it looking grand.
And do you think the people remember who you are, Charlie?
I don't think so. I come to the firm conclusion that you're the only one who remembers all them. And I wish to God you'd forget.
Michael Noonan is here as well. You've had a couple of rough weeks, Minister for Finance. The two coalition parties are two parties plummeting in the polls. Enda has gone from being the most popular leader since when, Michael?
Well, I'd probably say since Bertie Ahern.
150,000 people on the street?
That's 3% of the population. You know, the other 97% are inside watching Fair City and Judge Judy, you know, and baking mince pies. You know, Joe, you want to calm down a bit, you know. So I know where your political leanings were. I read your book, Joe. I remember you up the flagpole outside Trinity College in College Green, you know, so I know where you stand. You know, but the soldiers, you want to calm down a bit. You know, a few fellas sitting down in front of a car, you know, terrorising a defenceless woman is hardly storming the Bastille, Joe.
But isn't it extraordinary, despite, you know, the fastest growing economy in Europe, all the economic indicators pointing in the right direction, huge growth in employment announced yesterday. Sorry, I can't read your handwriting here, Michael. And the chances of the government being re-elected seem to be going down the toilet.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to be Keith Barry to see that, Joe. I think it's fairly clear now this government's popularity is, you know, it is sinking like a stone, if you'll forgive the pun. And any chance we had of becoming re-elected now has rapidly disappeared on the plug hole.
But all the newspaper headlines today, and the Kenny speech yesterday on Thanksgiving Day to the American Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, he's a beauty, isn't he? You know, he'll talk to everybody except his own people.
And the promises he made, he made them yesterday again about taxation. Do you think in the light of past experience, people are right to be sceptical?
Well, of course they're right. You know, if people agree to pay these water charges, you know, there's every chance the government will come back and tap them again. Maybe it's time for us, you know, to get off the pitch and go for an early shower. Maybe it's time to, you know, Alan Kelly, flush those water charges down the jacks.
I kicked them down. Are you saying the Fine Gael are having second thoughts about the introduction of water charges?
Yeah, well, you have to remember the water charges were introduced by Fianna Fáil. You know, Phil Hogan ran away to Brussels, made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, in fairness to him, when he was asked to implement those water charges, he fled to Brussels straight away. And now Alan Kelly of the Labour Party is driving them through with great aplomb and great enthusiasm. So I can see nothing to do with Fine Gael.
But surely it was a collective cabinet decision.
Yeah, that's only a lot of untreated sewage. And if it wasn't for Fine Gael, Labour would have another load of really nasty stuff in the pipeline. You know, in this government, you know, right from the beginning, as that chap there from, you know, the religious thing earlier on said, Fine Gael giveth, and the Labour Party taketh away.
And the Labour, Labour Party argue they get all the blame. Isn't that true?
That's
Michael,
just exactly as it should be. You know, that's part of our £5 plan. That's number five of our £5 plan. Make sure the mudguard.
Okay, I see him walking. Here he shook Bertie Ahern. I know he's decided now to give interviews. I think he's on with Miriam at the weekend. You've made a dramatic re-entry into public life, Taoiseach, the interview in the Sunday Independent. Is that a political comeback?
Well, I've had people beating down my door. Well, not literally, but I had loads of people asking me, could I get involved, bringing a bit of honesty back into the political system. And I always done public service. That's all I done, public service. So if the country needs a dig out, well, I mean, jeez, whenever I needed a dig out.
And did you need a dig out?
I don't want to go back there.
Well, who's been beating down your door?
Well, that fellow with the crutch. he still calls around occasionally, but not just him. Lucinda, Shane Ross. Shane Ross asked me if I'd be part of a 69 coloured rainbow coalition. Myself in finance, Ruth Coppinger in enterprise and unemployment, and Gerry Adams in justice. I know that's the best joke of today so far, Joe.
But have you?
Well, Shane wants me to offer stability.
Yeah, but have you made up your mind whether you will re-enter politics?
Well, I think there'll soon be a gap in the extreme left of the political spect and the left, just as soon as they finish tearing each other apart. And as a lifelong socialist who always believed in wealth sharing the money around, you can ask anyone. I'm always buying points for fellas up in Fagans, even that bloke with the crutch. Well, I'll be making me pitch to the people when I address the protesters on the march on the 10th of December outside the door.
A few announcements I have to make June Rogers in the Red Cow from tonight until Christmas, and then in the Red Cow in Cork on January 4th and 5th. Yeah. Tonight, for the final time, the transition year students in Dava College in Castlebar present the musical Don't Stop Believing in the Joe Langan Hall in Dava College. A new plant is a new project that Bob Carley is starting, and that starts on Sunday in the Marine Hotel in Sutton at 7:30. Sil Fox says, help. I have no gigs for Chris. What's your hand around? I believe, Sil, you're doing wedding and very birthday party return party. Oh, Sil Fox is not on Facebook, but he is in the phone book. Okay, right to me. I hope you join me for Spirit Level on Sunday. That's after the repeat of the toy show, which you all have to watch tonight. And to play us out on the day that's in it, our producer was Siobhan Hawk, Ailish O'Shea and Alistair McConnell, and researchers Pat O'Carney on sound. Ola McGowan is next. But to play us out, led by... by the musical director of the Thai show, Paddy Cullivan. What's it like over there at the moment, Paddy?
It's like the Jobstown Massacre. No, it's lovely. I'm bringing Peppa Pig spray.
Okay. Playing us out a song from tonight's Thai show.
The snow glow's breaking my heart.
No matter how hard I try.
Oh, when I realized she was sold out,
I hoped it was a bad dream.
Snow goes breaking my heart.
She's put a weight onto me.
I hear mothers are getting arrested,
trying to pick up a queen. Ooh, nobody knows when. Nobody knows.
I went into town.
The stock is still down. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows.
The doll will be back.
The shops will be black.
Oh, the shops will be black.
Snow goes breaking my heart.
Snow goes breaking my heart.
Don't go breaking my.
Snow goes breaking my.
Snow goes breaking my heart.
Snow goes breaking my.
Snow goes breaking my. Snow goes breaking my heart.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.